going out to the nations. Please help us to see how it is that we can be part of that work. Please use us. Lord, you do not need us to do this work, but so often you choose to use people like ourselves. Please give us a heart for the nations, a heart for the people who are lost, and also a jealousy for your name. May we desire to see your name honoured and glorified all over the world. Please help us this day, and please help us in the coming days and years. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's begin by thinking about missionaries. What missionaries do you know of, or perhaps what missionaries do you know personally? And then if you do know of missionaries, or if you do know any personally, what sort of things are they doing overseas? Oh, and also, when I use the term missionary today, I'll be thinking overseas cross-cultural mission and ministry. So do we know of any missionaries? Perhaps you know some? Yep. Thank you for being brave. I'd like to do. Thanks so much for sharing, by the way. It's great if I ask questions and you respond and you think. It's fine to get the answer wrong at the start as well. It's not about being perfect and getting the perfect answer straight away. It's about us growing together. So hopefully we can hear from lots of different people. If you look to your piece of paper in front of you there, there's a familiar Bible passage. I'm going to read it out. It's from the Gospel according to Matthew. It's the last words that are there. This is what the Lord Jesus said after he had died and then risen. And this is what he said to his disciples. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So, in particular, looking at this passage, why is it that we should do mission?
Because God's commanded us to.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yep. Can we hear that at the back? Yep. Oh, just a bit louder.
God's commanded us to.
Yep, thanks so much. Yep. So, in particular, we see Jesus here giving the command to his disciples, who would then become apostles. Yep. So training up those people that are Christians, and then also reaching people that aren't. And thanks so much for pointing us to the verse. That was really helpful. Is there somebody over this part here? Is there any other reasons why we should do mission? What's particularly encouraging about this passage?
God's always with us through everything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's in that last phrase, isn't it? Jesus promises, "And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Yeah, that's right. And another thing I find encouraging about this passage is at the beginning when Jesus talks about having all authority. So what he wants is he wants people all over the world to know that he is king, and he wants them to come to trust in him, because that's what the truth is. And it's amazing grace that people can actually come into Christ's kingdom through faith in the King. Okay, I'm going to hand over to Joy, and she's going to help us with the next section.
Okay, did everyone get their three reasons? Reasons for why we should do mission? It's very exciting, isn't it? Should we leave camp now and pack our bags and go to all the nations, to the whole wide world? Yes. We're going to look at a few things we need to be able to be a missionary. We've talked about why we need missionaries. We've seen in the Bible why we should do mission, get excited about mission, send people to the whole wide world. But what kinds of things do we need if we're going to be a missionary? I think there's space for three headings on your piece of paper. What, you tell me, give me an idea. What do you think we might need if we're going to be a missionary?
Support.
Okay, yep, some support. Good. Shout them out, yep.
And the courage to stand up for your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. That's kind of the first one we're going to look at. I've called it a love of the gospel. That's the first one. Because if you're going to go to another country, you're going to go and make disciples, like the passage told us to, you really need to love the gospel for yourself. You need to know that Jesus lived, that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, and that he did that for you, and that he did that for lots of people, for people all around the world. You have to be convinced that that is true, and you have to really love it. Now, if you don't know the gospel for yourself, or you're not convinced by it yet, come and talk to us afterwards, because we'd love to talk to you more about what the gospel is. But I want us to think about how we know if we really love the gospel. How do you know if you really love the gospel? I think it has to come out in your everyday life. So think about your life. Are you really loving the gospel? When you make your decisions, are you thinking about the Lord Jesus, who died to give you life? When you think about spending your money, are you thinking about Jesus who gave up riches to become poor, to die for you? When you look at the people around you, do you see yourself as better than them, more intelligent than them, more attractive than them? Or do you see them as someone made in God's image who God loves, someone who needs to hear the gospel for themselves? Are you committed to loving people around you? Or do you really just love yourself? Are you committed to serving people, even when it's hard, even when you're tired, even when you're the only one who's been serving everyone else? Because when you go on the mission field, that's what you're going to do, to love other people and to serve them. So think about it for yourself. Do you really love the gospel? Is it oozing out of you every day? Is it oozing out of you here on camp as you love people, as you serve people? My second thing about loving the gospel is, are you sharing it with the people around you? Because it's far easier to share the gospel with someone at school who's similar to you, who speaks your language, who has basically the same cultural background, who is the same age as you, who listens to the same music and plays the same sport. Much easier to share the gospel with them than it's going to be to share the gospel in a foreign country. If you can't tell people about Jesus here, it's going to be really hard to tell people about Jesus in another place. So think about it for yourself. Are you sharing the gospel with people? And the last one, and this is similar to what we heard before, do you have courage, or would you still believe it even if no one else did? Because going overseas as a missionary is really hard. You really need to be convinced the gospel is true. I was living in India, which is a land where most people don't believe the gospel. They don't believe Jesus is God. So you can live every day around people who are worshipping another God. Would you still believe it, even if no one else did? It's really easy to come on camp and be a Christian, isn't it? Everyone else is reading the Bible. Everyone else is listening to talks. But could you do it if you were the only one? So the question we're asking is, do you love the gospel? Because that's the first thing you need to be a missionary. The second thing I think you need is some experience, some relevant experience. One church had a big youth group, lots of Christian teenagers, and the youth leader invited them to go with him to Africa and help a church there by building a new church building. And all the young people were excited. They'd only ever dreamed of visiting Africa. Maybe we'll even see a giraffe. And the youth leader interviewed all of those who had signed up. And he selected those who were really serious about serving the church in Africa. You couldn't come just for the safari. You had to be keen to love Jesus and love the people there. And so they got the team together and they had some fundraisers to raise the money so that people could go and so they could buy some tools so they could build the church in Africa. They even had some meetings to prepare. So they knew how to live and how to dress and how to talk so they could help the church that's there. And eventually they got on the plane and they went over to the little village in Africa. When they got there, the youth leader quickly realized the problem with his plan. Not a single member of the team had any building experience. There were no builders, no brickies, no carpenters, no apprentices. One boy had done woodwork at school, but even that wasn't enough to build a church. They tried to build the church. They wanted to help, but their skills, their experience just wasn't good enough. And eventually they realized they were causing more trouble than helping. And they paid the money for the local builders to build the church instead. See, if you're going to go and visit a foreign country, if you're going to serve and love the church there, you have to come with relevant experience. That's probably going to be your work, isn't it? The work that you do. Your day job should be really suited to you. It also needs to be suited to the people that you're going to. When I went to India, I asked the church leaders there, what do you need? Or how can I help? What do you need? And I didn't want to go there and be another person who really wanted to help out, but couldn't do much to help. And they said, we need an English teacher in our Bible school. Now, I had done some work as an English teacher for second language students, and so it seemed like a good fit. They needed someone to teach English, and I had had a bit of experience teaching English. That sounds good, doesn't it? They didn't ask me to come as a builder, because I've never done that before. So it needs to be relevant, and it needs to be a good fit. So you need to think about what you want to do when you finish school. Then think about where that might fit. Start thinking now, because we're going to talk about it in a minute. Start thinking, what might you do? You need to go and be trained in that area. If you're going to be a doctor, what do you have to do? Go to uni and do a medical degree. If you're going to be a teacher, what do you have to do?
Go to uni.
Go to uni and do an education degree. If you're going to be a chef, what do you need to do? I think you're doing an apprenticeship for it. But yeah, same kind of thing, right? You need to go and be trained in that so that your work is good and you're qualified. And then you need to get some experience in that. Do some of that work here before you go. Because I can almost guarantee it's going to be harder there than it is here. So get some experience here before you go. The third thing that you need in terms of relevant experience is language. Most countries you go to, it would be really helpful if you could speak their language. When I went to India, I was working as an English teacher in a school where they had to learn English. So I didn't need to learn too much of Hindi, the Indian language. But if I wanted to get around in the streets or go and do my grocery shopping, I needed to know a few words. If I wanted to go into the streets and meet people and share the gospel with them, I would have needed to know fluent Hindi language, which is why most missionaries have to do years and years of language study before they can go. So you need to be thinking about learning a language. Maybe you're already learning one at school, or maybe you have the option to pick up a language when you start VCE or something like that. So you should be thinking, what languages do I know, or what language could I learn? And the last thing is getting a visa. Now, this is important in our time. I had lots of trouble trying to get a visa to live in India. Some countries are easier to get into than others, but very rarely can you sign up for a missionary visa. I want to come as a missionary and teach people about Jesus. The government will say no. You need to have a real reason to be in that place. We talked about farming and agriculture and trees. We talked a bit about English teaching before. I want you to think about ways that we can get into countries, real reasons that a government could give you a visa. Because it doesn't matter if you really want to go there and you really learn the language and you're ready to go and share the gospel there, if the government doesn't let you in, then you can't go. So that's your relevant experience, the things that you need in your everyday life. The last thing we heard from the front. You need support. If the people around you are encouraging you to consider overseas mission, then that's really helpful. But if they are discouraging you, you should think about that. You should ask why. Why don't they think it's a good idea? Because you really need people around you who will encourage you and who will support you, who will send you overseas. It's a hard job to leave your family and all your friends and the things that you know, the culture that you know, and go and start again in a new place. So support means people committing to staying in touch with you, talking to you on Skype, being your friend while you're trying to make new ones, listening as you share things, sending you letters or presents, maybe even coming to visit. If you want to be a missionary, you need people around you who will support you. You need people around you who will give you money as well. What does every missionary talk about when they come to your church? Usually at the end.
I need to raise some more money.
It's really important for missionaries to be freed up to be able to share the gospel with people. They really need financial support from us, from people over here. This is real. And often this is the difference between barely living and being able to live in a really healthy way. When I was in India, I had a few people give me some money and say, we want you to have more money so that you can buy fruit and vegetables, so that you can dress properly and warmly and all those things, not just living the bare minimum. So we need people to give money, to send you financially. And it's really important. So if you want to be a missionary, you have to have people around you who will support you financially. And the last one is who will support you by praying for you. You really need people who can commit to praying for you as you prepare, praying for you as you go, praying for you when you're there, praying for the different people that you're meeting and the different people that you're working with. This means they'll regularly be praying for people by name. It's easy to say, yeah, I'm praying for you. It's really hard to commit to regularly praying for someone, isn't it? To be remembering the people they're working with and to be asking God to help them. So it really means getting to know them and praying for them. So if you want to be a missionary, you need people around you to support you, to encourage you, to support you financially, and to support you with prayer. So there are some of the things that we need before we pack our bags and go to be a missionary. But what I want us to do now is think about what it could look like. We've talked about the work that we need and the languages that we might need and different things like that. But we're going to put some things up on the map in a minute of 10 pathways to mission. 10 different pathways to be able to go and be a missionary. On your paper, you have some blank lines. I'm going to give you 1 minute to see if you can think of some. You want to think of what you want to be thinking of is different work or different jobs that you could do to get you into a country so that you can make disciples in that place. Different work or employment that you could get now and then go overseas and do that there. Are we right? Do we know what to do? So just jot a few down and then we'll try to put some up on the map in a second. All right, we're whispering and giggling. We've got some good ones. Great. Now, the reason I want us to put them up on the map is not just to think of the jobs we could do, but also to think, where could we do them? Where could we do those things? So we have to be a bit creative now. So does anybody have an idea of an occupation? We'll start with that. Yes.
Maybe an agricultural agriculturist or a farmer because you want to teach them, you want to be able to help with their food production, and also if you want to teach somebody in Islam is how to do something that they'll be able to do in their life so they can make use of themselves.
Excellent. I put ag on the thing. Agriculture or farming, those kind of things. Where do you think that might be suitable? Should we send you to Antarctica as a farmer?
Probably not.
Where do you think might be good for that kind of thing?
Probably the best area for agriculture or just help me would be maybe Central Asia, or more like China, kind of Southeast Asia, India area.
Yep. All right, we'll take that. We'll claim that for agriculture.
What about Africa?
Yeah, Africa. Yeah, excellent. That would be great too. Yep. Yeah, okay, let's choose one. Let's go with midwife. Excellent. What's a midwife? Yeah, excellent. Helps pregnant ladies and newborn babies and things like that. All right, any ideas for where we should go? Africa. Yeah. Excellent. It's important they have... they learn really good health care and things like that. And if we can help with that kind of thing, that would be great. Probably all over the world, right? There's ladies giving birth, isn't there? Other ideas? More things we can do. Yes. Yeah, okay. Can I put a builder? Where do you think we might help as a builder? We might be able to get a job as a builder so we can meet the other builders and share the gospel with them. Yeah, great. Yeah. Excellent. Someone else had their hand up, but I don't remember. Yes.
A teacher.
Excellent. Can we be a bit more specific?
Like a...
primary teacher?
Yeah.
Yep. Or we'll put school teacher. Where do you think you could go as a school teacher?
I was thinking Indonesia.
Yeah, okay. Can I tuck it in here? Excellent. That sounds great. Some more? That's five. No, that's four. We need six to go. Great. Yeah, like a minister? Yep. Excellent. Can I put minister? I'll put pastor. That's a great word. This is what I think when I think of missionary. I kind of naturally think of someone who's a pastor of a church in Australia who's going to go to a place where maybe they don't have a church and teach people about Jesus and start a church. So this is kind of, in my mind, traditional idea of mission. Where do you think we might go as a pastor? Let's imagine there's no church there already. He's going to go and he's going to tell the first people who have never heard about Jesus. Any ideas of places like that? Yeah? Anywhere in particular?
Central.
Okay. There's still lots of places in the world where people have never heard about Jesus. But yeah, you're right, lots in Africa. Even India had parts of India where there's no church. Yes.
Someone who can go in and support the poor people, like an orphanage or something.
Okay, yeah. I wonder what we would call them. Childcare maybe? Yeah, it's kind of like a mum, isn't it, to lots and lots of children. I'll put an orphan carer. Maybe I'll put that. Do you have ideas of where that kind of work could happen?
Possibly Africa or Russia.
Oh, Russia. Excellent. There were lots of Christian people who did that kind of work in India as well. Some more. Is that six? Yes. We don't have doctor yet. Then, like that, okay? Where's the doctor going to go? Yep. Scientists. Where's a scientist going to go?
Antarctica.
Ah, see? We need scientists who are Christians who can go to Antarctica. It's great. And make disciples of people down there. Yes. Yeah, okay. What kind of work?
Basically setting up different things, programs to work to help people.
Yep.
Agriculture, education, just overseeing that.
Yeah, yep, and lots of health things as well. Where do you think we could send an aid worker?
Once again, Africa or Asia.
Yep. I'll go across the Middle East. All right, some more ideas? We're getting close. I think we're on eight.
Pharmacists,
yep. Oh, that's 10. Excellent. Where could a pharmacist go?
Anywhere, I think. Tasmania.
Well.
Mexico?
Yeah, that's a good one.
South America.
Yeah. Excellent. Can you see that there's lots of different things that we could do to be able to go overseas? Lots of different jobs that could get us into countries. Have you got more?
Not more.
Okay, tell us. We won't put it up, but you can
it's
tell
not
us.
It's exactly an overseas job. There's also missionaries in the center of Australia. There's also set missionaries in the center of Australia.
That's right.
Even though it's not overseas.
That's right, but yeah. Okay.
So maybe like in doctor would be like, or pharmacist, there's not going to be doing that, would go well.
Yeah, definitely.
There's not very much healthcare out there.
Definitely, yep.
And then like other, like, with pretty much we've got all of them in the bottom half and we just don't have anything in the top half. Is there other stuff that would work for them?
Yeah, I think there's lots of things where these things can also fit up here. But remember, there's also a lot of the Western world up here as well, like here and here, which doesn't mean we shouldn't send people there. But we really want you to think in this workshop about mission across culture and across language and across geography. So that's why we're not really talking about mission to Central Australia or mission to America or to England or things like that. But don't be discouraged. There's definitely needs and there's definitely jobs you can do over there. But we just, I think, trying to think more specifically about those other places. I'm sure I could rearrange a few of these and send some of these guys to Europe, to parts of Europe, for sure. We definitely need these guys, pastors who are building churches in North America and in Europe. Teachers could be anywhere. So same kind of thing. It just was how I put the spread up. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. It's a good question, a really good question. Yes. Last one.
people to go around and encourage the church.
Yeah, excellent. Yep. Other Christian workers working with the churches in those places. Definitely, that's great. I had engineers. We didn't put them up. I had IT. Definitely lots of places where you could be an IT worker. Mechanics. Sport. There's one for Europe. There's a lot of ministry in Europe happening at the moment through sport and starting sports programs and things like that. I think that's all that I had as well. So we're going to think about all of these and more. If you've got more on your piece of paper, that's good. And I'll hand back to Nick and he'll take us through an activity.
Yeah. We're going to do something now, thinking about that, but for yourselves. So we're going to have a think about a 10-year plan or about a 10-year plan. So a 10-year plan starting from now or about now to 10 years into the future. To when you could serve or start thinking at least about serving overseas in a different culture, perhaps working at a church as a pastor, or perhaps thinking about just working in the community and then trying to share Jesus as you do that. So I did my 10-year plan. So I became a Christian by God's grace when I was 19 years of age. And I was studying to be a primary school teacher. So I was at university doing primary school teaching. So that was like that. And I became a Christian at the start of that. And that was about 4 years. I was a Christian for most of the years while I was at uni. And then the next thing I did was I graduated. So I was able to work as a primary school teacher. So I put primary school. Why is it liking me a bit? Teacher, so I did that, and I did that for 2 years. So at uni for 4 years, primary school teacher for two. After that, I became pretty sure that God was calling me to serve in ministry full time.
So I thought I'd test my gifts to see if that actually is what God was calling me to do. So I did what's called an AFES apprenticeship. So I did that there. So that was 2 years. And then at the end of that, I talked with some people that I worked with. I actually was with Jesse Waltz at the time, who's along with Beck, are the camp parents here at the moment. Beck actually did an apprenticeship as well. But at the end of that time, I talked with my trainer, and he encouraged me to pursue ministry. So now I'm studying at Bible College. Like that. So that's 4 years. And then I'm about there of my Bible College degree. So then hopefully I'll serve as a pastor in the church. Like that. So we'll come down here like that. So you see, I was at university for 4 years. That's when I became a Christian. And that's really when my 10-year plan, I started to think about it. So that was 4 years, 2 years, so that's 6 years, 8 years. I suppose that's about 12 years, isn't it? And then serving as a pastor, God willing, would like to do that. So perhaps think about that for 5 to 10 years, or perhaps just continuing on without stopping until God takes me home. And then after that, then perhaps think about missionary work. Think about the mission field there. So the reason I've done it like that, so as you can see, it's a bit more than a 10-year plan, and that's because I'd have to do 2 degrees, really. So I sort of have to go back to the start and then start again, which is fine. And then also, to serve on the mission field as a pastor, I think it would be wise to have some experience serving in a church in Australia. I understand Australia. I speak the language in Australia. So it seems wise to get some experience here. And to get some relevant experience, as we were talking about. But that said, God can turn everything on its head really quickly, and he can send us over and just almost say to us, just get some training on the job. I think that would be quite unusual, and it doesn't seem to be God's usual way of doing it, so that would perhaps be more like the 1% kind of people, rather than getting relevant experience and then going. So you can see on my beautifully constructed 10-year plan there, this is what I'm hoping that you guys will do. So we'll give you about 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour to think about this and to put it together. I could do it quite quickly because I had done it previously, and I think like this. This is how I think. So what you can do is think about now, so whether you're 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, or a bit older, you can think about where am I now and what might it look like for my 10-year plan or perhaps 15-year plan to then, God willing, be serving on the mission field in whatever it is that you're passionate about and wherever it is that you really have a heart for people. I'll do another one down here. So let's think about Matilda. Actually, we'll change the name. We'll say Maddie. Okay. And so Maddie's 14 years of age. She likes cooking. Oh, no, she likes reading. Say she likes reading. She likes reading books. And she likes coffee. Okay. So her first step.
Early starter.
Where she is. I started when I was 13. Anyway. So she wants to end up in Indonesia. She's always loved Indonesia. She's been there once with her parents. And she's seen that there's not many people that know the Lord Jesus there. And that the churches that are there are struggling. She doesn't think that she's going to be a Bible college. Or she doesn't think she's going to go to Bible college. And then be an upfront teacher. But she'd love to support the mission work that's happening there. So let's say that she wants to go to Indonesia. She likes reading, so she wants to work in a bookshop / cafe. She wants to work in a bookshop so that she can sell good Christian books, which are evangelistic to people who don't know anything about Jesus, and then also that are edifying, that build up Christians that are there. Because there's not much opportunity for that. And if she does work in a cafe, that gives her a real reason to be in Indonesia, and she can tack the bookshop on, and that can be the missionary side of her work. So Maddie's 14. She would be in year 8 or year 9. We'll say that she'd be in year 8 at the moment. So this is a different way you could do it. If you like pictures, and if you like building slowly, you can do it like this, and just see where you end up. But if you have a specific place, you might like to do it like this, or like this. And you can start at the beginning and slowly add steps, or you can find an end point and then just fill in the gaps like we're doing now. So she has to finish school. She's in year 8. The first step is to finish school. And that will take year 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That will take 5 years. I'll change colours so it'll be a bit easier to see. The second step, so she's at school now, she's planning to finish school, which is a good idea, unless she has a really clear pathway somewhere else. And she wants to end up in Indonesia, working in a bookshop and a cafe. So a good option at the moment is to be working in a cafe to be getting experience as she's young. So she can work in a cafe at the moment. Then the second step, once she's finished school, she could go to TAFE and she could do a hospitality course. So she could do a diploma or even a bachelor. So she can study hospitality. Okay, so you can continue working in the cafe, and that will take her anywhere between 1 and 3 years. So we'll put 1 to 3 years, depending on the pathway. There she can learn more about what it should look like or what it could look like to be working in a cafe. She can learn how to make really good coffee. And as she's working in the cafe, she can be putting those skills into practice. And this is really important at the moment, but it's also got an eye to the future where she's hoping to serve in Indonesia. The third step, which would be wise again, would be to gain relevant experience, but then also to put that relevant experience into practice here in Australia, in the culture that she understands, and to learn how to do that really well here, and then, God willing, to serve in Indonesia. So she could work full time. So she might do that for 2 to 5 years, perhaps. And at that time as well, she can be learning Indonesian. And so that when she gets to Indonesia, if someone stumbles into her shop and asks for a coffee and asks about the books, eventually, after a few years, she'll be able to explain the gospel in Indonesian in a way that is really meaningful and relevant and understandable for people living in Indonesia who don't speak any English. So what we're going to do now is we're going to turn to ourselves and we're going to think about a 10-year plan. Now, 10 years feels like a lifetime, I don't know, but it could be really helpful to start thinking, what would be the steps for me to possibly end up on the mission field? Now, that's not the only pathway that we can take to serve God faithfully. We can serve God here in Australia, or we can serve God in another Western country similar to Australia. But just for to help us think about worldwide mission, let's think about what it would look like for us, who are 13 or 15 or 17, to head overseas and to be there in around 10 or 15 years. Now, if you're someone who really likes structure and perfect numbers, just do 10 years, don't get lost. But if you're someone like me who likes a bit more flexibility and 10 years is really, you know, who knows, 10, 15, whatever, then you can do it like that as well. And if you're someone who likes to build step by step, you can do it that way. And if you have a really clear end point, you can start where you are, where you want to end up, and then fill in the gaps. So you can do it like that. That might be a really helpful way to do it with all the different bubbles. You can fill it in, you can fill the detail around that. Or you can just do steps, 1, 2, whatever. Does that make sense? Okay, has anyone got any questions? Okay, so feel free to move around a little bit if you want to get a bit more comfortable, if you'd like to write on the tables there. We'll have about 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. If you have any questions, please come and ask us. If you're stuck, please come and ask us. And we're going to be roving around talking to you at this time.
Okay? You can use the back if you need to, or if you've made a mistake and don't have space, we'll grab some paper for you.
Yeah, that's all right. That's a good one. So you can write on the back of that. So you just have one piece of paper to take home. Okay, off you go. Have fun.
Yeah.
Which way do you think from the boxes?
solid start.
You may.
Oh, it's okay. I can just use the back of my sheet.
Oh, you just use the back of my sheet.
Yeah.
Thursday is actually 7 days step two after you pass this is monthly acceptance. Yes, because you just finish your 2 year of regular treatment. The thing is, they send you here conditions in good efforts. That is one location that I would not get.
Very unique.
Japanese is spelled with all words, so there's no mind in the eyes that he and ministry is spelled with white. No, I'm saying. Otherwise, it's jumping on. See, I was jumping on.
Guys want to come back in and we'll get back together?
Just as I finish my parents.
Okay. As we come back together now, I hope you found that activity helpful. Start thinking about what might it look like for me if I was to go from where I am now to then serving in a country that is overseas and has a different culture, and what could I do that is or could be really meaningful there. Now, as we contemplate this and think about this, we have to always remember that God's in control and that we make plans, but really what happens is up to God. Our life is but a mist that appears for a while, and during that time we should strive to be faithful to God with all that we do, and we should have big hopes, and we should expect big things from God. But we always need to remember that it is God who's in control, and that things only happen if He wills, which then drives us to prayer,
And also takes the burden off us, because what happens depends on God, and we can just be the faithful instrument in his hand, which is an extraordinary privilege. But as we contemplate now, or have just contemplated, what it might look like for us to go onto the mission field overseas, what did you find hard about that activity?
Deciding which places the most needy, or which place needs the most people to go, or which place needs the most healthcare, or anything like that.
Yeah, thank you. Who else found it hard to pick a country? Yeah, I spoke to a few people that found it hard to pick one particular country.
Did anyone find it easy to pick a country? You have somewhere that... What made it easy? David, what made yours easy?
I've already been
there. Yeah. Yep. Been to Cambodia on a short-term mission? Yep. Cool. Just curious.
Yep. What things did we find easy? What did we find easy about this task? Was there anything that was easy? Perhaps there was nothing easy.
An easy listing the things that I could actually do from, like, starting year 9 to finishing school. Like, other things that can be outside of school.
Yep.
Some examples? Any examples?
I had, like, just visiting Indonesia next year as part of school.
Mm-hmm.
And then also doing, like, the kids' program and stuff.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, great. Well, we hope you found that part really helpful. I hope you can take this away and continue thinking, what might it look like for me, and what pathway might I take? And you should try and think as well in the coming years, what is it that God might be calling me to do? What should I choose if I choose to go to uni, or what trade should I do? It's helpful to think, well, what am I good at, and what do I enjoy doing? I worked for a couple of years with university students, and often they would come into university and then be unsure if it was the right course, or they would change courses. And often it was because they were doing something that they thought that somebody else thought that they should do. So if you can think, what am I good at and what do I like doing, that might really help you to then think, well, what options are open for me there? And then asking people around you as well. So for me, I would never pick primary school teaching for myself. But my mum encouraged me to think about it. Thinking about the gifts that I had and how God had created me to be. And it turned out that I was okay at it, or reasonably good at teaching, and then I started to like it because I was pretty good at it. So that might be a helpful thing to think about in the coming years. But we'll pass over to the next part.
The last thing we're going to do today is think about ways of caring for missionaries. So maybe you came in the door at 2 o'clock and was really excited about mission and coming to this workshop, and you thought, I'm going to be a missionary. And now that we've talked about it, it's all a bit overwhelming, and you think, maybe not, or maybe later, or maybe never. That's okay. We're going to think about how we can care for missionaries and how we can support them. And I'm really glad you're here, because you've obviously chosen this workshop, so you obviously care something about mission. So we're really going to try to engage our love of others now. How can I think about someone else? How can I love someone else who's thinking about being a missionary? Maybe you'd think for yourself, what would be really loving towards me if I was going to do this? How can I show that to someone else? So I'll give you 1 minute again on your little lines on the front of your page, if you've got space. Have a brainstorm and think quickly. Can you come up with some ways of caring for missionaries? We might put them up on the board once you've had a little think. To be as creative as you like. Can I run this out?
Yep.
we're going to see if we can come up with 10 together. So, ideas. Is that an idea or an itch? Okay. I thought, yes. Ideas for ways that we can be caring for missionaries. Yes.
Support
financially. Okay. Can you give me some details of what that might look like? Well, how could you support a missionary financially?
Give them money.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Yep. Come up with, do some fundraisers. How would a teenager financially support a missionary? Yeah, how do they do that? Sorry, I'm re-asking the same question. Where do they get it? You're doing a really good job, Tim. Where might they get the money? Anyone and everybody. We're talking about financial support.
Get a job.
That's great. Get a part-time job and give some of your money to missionaries. We've talked about organizing fundraisers. Maybe a youth group. Has any youth groups done fundraisers for missionaries before? One nod. Everybody else? Oh, two, a few nods, good. Maybe you could do that as well. Other ideas? At church, do they ever have the little envelopes to the missionary? You can put your money in the plate or the bag, or you can put it in an envelope, and that money goes to missionaries. What about after you graduate from school, from uni? And you get a professional job, or you're in a trade, what could you do with your money then?
Give it to them.
Yeah, give lots of it to them, right? Because you've got more. Give lots to them. Tim's all over this one. Give it to them. What about your mum and dad or your family? Could you save some money as a family and give it to them?
You can encourage them to give as
well. Yes. I've talked to lots of people. I'm raising money to work as a missionary to a university campus. Lots of people say, I don't have any money. And I wonder, does mum and dad? Does your family? See if your family can financially support. Everyone can give something. A little girl that I knew who had just started working at a sushi place, she gave her whole week's income to me so that I could work at the university campus. Just her one shift in her job, and she was able to give that. So, what are we doing? We're financially supporting. Excellent. Other ideas? Ways we can support mission? Pray. Can you give me some details? What might that look like?
Like praying specifically for their safety and
their word. Definitely. Yep. So when you pray to God by yourself, pray to God for missionaries. Maybe you have one person who's kind of a friend or you've seen them before, pray for them. How else can we pray?
You pray that they have money.
Yeah, pray for people to give them the financial support they need. Definitely, that's really important. That's great. Other ways we can pray. Yep.
You can pray in groups with other people.
Definitely, Bible studies or youth groups at church or at Sunday school, whatever, be praying for them. Yeah, definitely. Yep. Which means you need to know the people they come in contact with, don't you? Means you need to listen as they talk about people and learn the names and then pray for them. Those kind of things. It's really caring for someone, isn't it? When you're really praying for them. Maybe your church has a night service and every Sunday night you could choose a different country or a different person and pray for them like that. Think of ways that we can pray for them. Other ideas. Ways we can care for missionaries. Yes.
You can send them cards and stuff.
Yeah, excellent. Send stuff. Let's be really specific. What kind of stuff? Cards? When would you send a card?
On their birthday.
Well, maybe send it a bit before.
Thanks. Yeah. Excellent. Really good. Very thoughtful. If you've thought a month ahead to send me a card on my birthday so that when it gets lost in the mail or whatever, it still gets there. It's really kind and thoughtful. Yep.
Just writing to them.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. write them letters, send letters. Other things we can send?
Like
supplies.
Supplies.
Money, yes, I did. Supplies.
Like, not necessities, but things that remind them of home, like Vegemite or something, you know, that you can't get over there.
My sister sent me Vegemite. Yeah. And Lachlan's mum sent me Easter eggs at Easter time when I was in India. So think of things like that, yep. Other things? I've got a note here, send your best stuff. When you think of supplies, send your best stuff, not just stuff, and definitely not your old, used, ripped jeans. Send your best stuff. Maybe you've heard there's lots of countries that don't have the same resources that we have, so you get excited. Let's send over some books. So you go to your bookshelf and you choose all the books that you don't want anymore, or the bad ones, or the one with the torn cover. Let's send that to the poor people overseas. I think we should send our best stuff. Buy nice new things. If you're going to send books, send good, helpful books. If you're going to send laptops, send ones that work. Be really thoughtful. Send good stuff. Otherwise, they just have to deal with it and chuck it out. So send stuff. Excellent. I had some other stuff. What did I have? Oh, send stuff that they need as well. Yep, Vegemite's good and it might be a necessity, but there could be other things that you need. When I went to India, my friends pulled together and they bought me this iPad so that I could read books on it because I can't buy books living in India. So it was something they really thought about, what would Joy need? And it's pretty expensive. It was a kind gift and they gave me that. When I was going and it was going to be winter, Nick gave me a jacket, a big winter jacket that I wouldn't be able to buy there. Send stuff that they need. Other ways, we've got three. Yep.
Tell others about them.
Yeah, that's a good one. What would that look like?
Like here or something, like what we're doing right at the start.
Yeah.
Like telling people about what they're doing and asking them to pray and support them and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yep. Be talking about it at church or in other things. Yep, when you have opportunities. That's great. What about if they came home for a visit? How could you care for missionaries when they, you know, do you have missionaries come to church sometimes? Maybe they dress up in funny clothes and come and talk to you about where they've been. How could you care for them on that day? Okay, yep, invite them over. Was there something at the back? Yep, good cordial, always the best stuff. They might not have had cordial for 2 years, so yeah. Make the good stuff. What did you say?
I said Nutella.
Give them Nutella, yep, give them all the best stuff.
Listen and encourage them.
Yeah, that's really important. So you've invited them to your house, you've made the Nutella and the cordial, and you really, like one way to really care for them is to listen. To ask really good questions. Remember that they've lived there for 2 years, so that's a real part of their life. So ask them about it. What's it like in that place? What do you do every day? What time do you wake up in the morning? What do you sleep on? Do you get a bed? Like all those kinds of things. Ask them about their experience because it's really caring for someone to be able to share those things with you. So one way to really care for them is just ask questions. Get to know them. And then you'll pray for them better, right? And you'll understand better. Another one I had was read their updates. Maybe you get email updates, or your church does, or maybe you get Facebook updates if you know them. So read their updates and reply back. Maybe you could reply back with a question or a comment. That sounds really hard. Or I just prayed for you about that. Or tell them what you've been doing as well. When I was in India and all you guys were on summer camp, I was thinking about summer camp all the time and missing being on summer camp. So when someone sent me a note that said, I've been on camp, it was really good, this is what we did, it's just nice to be able to hear of the things you guys are doing. So if you know these guys, tell them what you've been up to. Stay in touch with them. Any more ideas? It's a really big one. You could visit them. One of my favourite parts of my time in India was when Lily and Lem and Catherine and Gresham came over to visit, and they spent 2 weeks. We had 1 week in the place where I was working, and they came to Bible study with me, and we went to the school where I was teaching the Bible, and they came and saw my English class and met all the people that I had been talking about all the time. And then we had a week to travel in Nepal together. So you could visit them, get to know what they're doing. Especially if you're thinking you want to be a missionary, go and visit someone else who's actually doing it. So maybe that's later in your 10-year plan, but you could think about going over there. Any last ones? What about when they're old and they've turned 50, 60, and they've come home from the mission field and they're finished? What could you do to care for them? Yep.
Give them a good old Aussie supper.
Yes. Make some Australian food for them. That's good. Other things you could do. Remember, they've been living in another country for a long time and they've just come back to Australia. Yeah.
They won't actually have any, like, a lot of friends here.
They won't have friends. They would have left all their friends back there. So they're restarting again. That's really good. So invite them over, spend time with them, ask them those questions. Where do they live? Where do they live when they've just gotten back from an overseas country? Tom, where did you live when you got back from Yemen? Yeah, with his uncle and aunt, because you didn't have a house yet, did you? So what could you do if someone was coming back from the mission field? Yeah, give them your spare room. Someone gave me their spare room. Beck and Jesse gave me their spare room when I came back from India for 3 months. It's a long time to live in someone's house, isn't it? They were very kind. So think about if you could do that. What do they drive? Tom, what did you drive when you got back from Yemen? Because you didn't have a car yet, right? You really don't have anything when you come back. So thinking of ways you can help them when they come back, giving them things, see if your family can help them. I think that's probably 10. I know there's less on the board, but we've probably talked about lots and lots of different things. Have you got enough ideas for ways to care for missionaries? Enough ideas so you can start when you get home from camp? Think about the missionaries that you've heard of, or talk to someone at church about how you can get to know a missionary or get their email address or their address so that you can care for them and start praying for them. We are going to finish there. If you wanted to ask any questions that would be helpful for everyone, you could ask them now. But Nick and I will also hang around for afternoon tea as well. So you could come and talk to us, show us your 10-year plan, or ask us if we can help, or ask us any questions. So you can save some questions for later if you want to. Anything for now? Yes.
What's the most challenging thing about going out in India?
That's a good question. That's one I should have been prepared for. lots of things were hard, were really hard. Living in a culture that was different from mine. So there were lots of things in India that I couldn't do or shouldn't do to really love the people there. Remember at the start we talked about loving and serving others? In India that meant in summertime you wear long pants and long clothes and you're hot. But you dress like that so that you love the people around you. In India, women don't go outside after dark. So in summertime, that's 8 o'clock, but wintertime, that's 5 o'clock. So I had to be home every night before the sun went down, which kind of isn't as fun as it is if you can go out at night, but you have to do that so that you can love the people there, so that you can earn their respect and things like that. So there's lots of different cultural things like that. People can knock on your door anytime, even if you're still in bed, and you have to be ready to welcome them to come into your house and make some tea and have some biscuits and things like that. So just as I would start doing something, maybe Nick would call me from Australia and we'd start talking and someone would knock on the door and I'd have to say goodbye to Nick and go and spend time with that person. So scheduling things isn't quite the same. They don't say, can I come over at this time? They just come over at any time. So those kind of cultural things were really different. Time was different. No one really runs according to time, everything's a bit slow and late. So I'd be at the place at 3 o'clock, but people don't come till 3:15 or 3:20 or whatever. So those cultural things were hard. Being in a different church was hard because I was used to my home church, listening to really good preaching all the time. So I had to get used to different things like that. But they were the main things. Did I say anything else, Nick, that was really hard? Nick might know better than me because I would have complained to him. Yeah. Food was good and weather was easy, like was pretty good. And meeting people was really good, was great. So it was easy to make friends where I was working and I had some good friends around me. So that was really good. Missing things back home was hard sometimes. But really a lot of like living overseas is great, but a lot of it is hard. You leave your mum and dad and you leave your friends and your church and all those kind of things. If you got sick, it would be really hard. I was pretty healthy there, but yeah. So it is hard, but God is very good and he takes care of us and people pray. And that's the main thing, so it's not impossible. Don't be discouraged. Any other questions? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think all the things we talked about are true, are good and real ways to help missionaries. Money is something that you can hold in your hands and you can say, I got this money from that person. That person really loves and cares for me. So it looks, it feels solid and real, but everything is real and important. So when you pray for someone, it's equally as valuable and meaningful that someone's really praying for you. When you write them a letter, it's probably nicer than just getting money, because you've written the letter and it's nice and you've thought about it. So everything is real and meaningful and good. Not just money. Yeah. But I would challenge you guys to realise that some of us are financially tight, but giving to missions is a sacrifice. We don't give. It's better to think, how can I give from what God's given me, not how can I give what's left over once I've been to a movie and paid my phone off and bought some food and things like that. It is going to be a sacrifice, so it will feel tight. But it's wonderful to give to God's work. It's his money, isn't it? That's right. It's a good question, though. Everything is valuable. Anything else? We might stop. Can I pray?
Yeah.
Can I pray before Sven jumps in?
I thought, actually,
oh, that would be great.
So how about we'll go.
That sounds good.
So I just wanted to say from everyone at PYD, thanks to Nick and Joy for coming. We got you a gift.
Kind.
To share, because that's what married people do. Congrats. Is this your first gift together? The reason we want to pray for Joy is because Joy is about to begin a ministry at Deakin University in Burwood, is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Great. So actually some of us, maybe not in this room, are actually going to go to Deakin, so you might actually run into her and see her. And of course, praying also for Nick as he completes his college degree,
yep.
Bachelor of Theology.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and all the work that goes into becoming a minister.
Yeah.
How about, because I didn't really think this through, how about you pray for all these lovely young people who actually have a great interest in mission and what they'd like to do? And how about then I pray for you too?
That sounds great. Excellent. Should we pray? Father God, thanks so much that you are so good and that you are the King of the whole wide world and of all nations. And thanks that you've brought us into your family and saved us. We pray that each day you would help us to really love you more and understand and be convinced more of your love for us and of the truth of the gospel. And give us opportunities to be living that out and sharing that wherever we are, starting from today. But help us to think and to consider about overseas mission. We pray that the plans that we've put on the piece of paper, that you would be helping us and guiding us as we make decisions about BCE subjects or languages or university courses or which part-time jobs to get. We know that you're in control, God, and we trust you But we pray that you would be guiding us and helping us as we make these decisions. Thank you, God, that you're the one who saves people. We pray that you would be saving people all across the world. And we pray for missionaries now that you would be helping them. Perhaps they're feeling discouraged, or perhaps they're having a really hard time. We pray, Lord, that through your Spirit you would encourage them. And we pray that you would help us as we think about ways to care for them. We pray for all these guys, God, who are here thinking about mission. And pray that you would help them and put people around them to encourage them now. And send your Holy Spirit to be working in them, to be showing them the gifts that you've given them, and to be giving them wisdom to know how they can serve you with that. We thank you so much for this time, and thank you that you are our good God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you, Lord, for Joy and Nick, that they could come and share their wisdom and their knowledge and experience about mission and the missionary field and how to share the gospel with others. We just pray for Joy in the ministry that she's about to begin this year at Deakin University. I pray that she can really preach the gospel to them. I pray that you can open the hearts of the students there. And if we have students here that are going to Deakin, that they can support her in any way that they can, and those that aren't as well. So we pray for her, and we pray that we can continue to think of her and her ministry. And we pray for Nick also in the ministry that he is aiming to begin as a minister and in his calling. So we pray that we can support him in our prayers and in our words. In Jesus' name.